Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Take two.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Have you ever heard of the Mandela Effect?
Yep.
The Mandela Effect, for those of you who have no idea what that is when people swear, like on like a collective level, that something happened that might not have happened. Maybe everybody sitting here watching on twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV thought that we started this show already.
Right. And it's like, wasn't there already an episode this Wednesday? And didn't they talk about like
Jimmy Dean Sausage?
I was listening live. They were talking about Jimmy Dean Sausage, and then they went, well, it's the big show. And it was like really funny.
And Todd Chrisley's poop shoot.
Yeah. And then Todd Chrisley jokes. And then
you didn't hear any of that.
And then you're like, on your podcast, I'm like, you're like, what? And it's like, that really did happen. And then the computer froze. And so we're just not going to try to recreate jokes that we do spontaneously. We'll just still have, we'll just keep the good times going.
So we were talking at the beginning of the first version of the show, was talking about like the season's changing. It's almost fall. Football's almost here. People's fantasy drafts are happening. People are crying about Andrew Luck, which we'll talk about later.
Do you have an Mandela effect?
I have one.
I have one. I would have bet you a lot of money.
Right.
That there was a dash in Kit Kat. Like it was a kit and it's this little, okay, little dash. Right.
Okay.
Kit, little dash cat. And there's not. And there's right, never been.
Yeah.
And like my Mandela effect, because like some people swear, because there's all different ones. So like I'll give you a real world examples of some of them. Because and here's how it started, right? The Mandela effect, it's named after Nelson Mandela.
Yep.
Because when Nelson Mandela in the late 90s died and they had the big funeral or whatever, there were a lot of people throughout Africa that were like, wait a minute, Nelson Mandela died in jail. We already had a funeral and a thing, and we already
right,
talked about, and we mourned Nelson Mandela. And then, like, what do you mean he's dead now? Or, like, when he got out of jail, that might have been it. Like, when he got out of jail, they're like, what do you mean he got out of jail? He died.
He died in jail.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And people were like, no, I'm serious. And there was, like, enough people out there that it got
they
to coin
believed
the,
it.
And it coined the phrase. And so some of them for people are, some people believe that at one point it was Jiffy peanut butter. Like, it was not right, Jif, it was right, Jiffy. And they're not like, and it like makes them mad.
Okay, that might be one. I mean, it never got to that point, but I definitely thought it was Jiffy for a long time.
The big internet one is Sinbad being in a genie movie.
Yes.
So like people swear that like people aren't even like, there's a group of people out there and they don't even necessarily dispute that there's Kazam.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Yeah. Shazam. Whatever it is with Shaq. It's not even about that movie not existing. It's like, no,
there's a second one, that
there's a genie movie right, starring Sinbad, and people are like, the people that believe it to the point where, like I said,
we'll fight you on it.
Right, we'll start to like get
right
in because they need you to understand that they believe this kind
right,
of idea, like X-Files level, like shaking
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
the biggest one probably in history is people that believe in Empire Strikes Back that the line is Luke, I am your father,
when
but it's
that's,
not.
That's actually a line from Black Sheep.
Tommy Boy.
Is it Tommy?
Tommy Boy. Where he
Tommy
does
Boy?
It in the fan.
I knew it was one of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, does it in the fan. But like, so a big one is describe Mr. Monopoly to me.
Yeah, he's top hat, monocle, white mustache.
Right. So Mr. Monopoly has never had a monocle. Ever.
Really? I'm thinking of Mr. Peanut.
Ever. Right.
I'm thinking
but
of Mr. Peanut.
But, but I did the same thing. My buddy Ronnie goes, describe Mr. Monopoly to me. And I said the same thing. Top hat, monocle. And he goes, okay. Mr. Monopoly's never, ever had a monocle. And it's like, no, you're
lying.
You're really, really wrong. And then you Google it, and then every image of Mr. Monopoly, period, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I know that maybe my brain just put Mr. Peanut, because top hat, fancy guy.
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, it's like the theory out there is, because like mine, like I would have sworn to you on everything that there was a little dash in Kit Kat, and there just isn't.
Right.
And the theory is that there are, and Einstein theorized this as well, that there are parallel universes and every universe is basically paper thin. So it's like almost the same conceptually
okay,
as if you were to get a sunburn and you peel off a layer of skin.
Right.
That is how independent yet connected
the skin
the universes yeah. are. Right, that okay. you can see. It has your patterns on it, as DNA. It is a self-sufficient layer of skin.
Right.
However, it is part of something much thicker and deeper. See what I'm saying,
though? Yeah, right, right, right.
And so the idea is that at times
we access that.
These universes are so thin.
So in some other universe, it was Sinbad and not Shaq.
Right. Or that, yeah, exactly. Or that there's some place in time
yeah.
where, like, there's some, you know, the dimension right below ours where Mr. Monopoly has a monocle, or there's a Dash and Kit Kat, or Nelson Mandela died right. in jail. And because there's just things that are above my
scientific pay grade.
Exactly what I was going to say. That's just the theory out there. And so, do you have any?
I don't have one, because the one that I could have sworn that I was like, I could have sworn this thing was happening, ended up being true. Because I, for the life of me, was like, I watched this thing where there was a cartoon where the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Bugs Bunny and Porky Pig and, like, all of these people were, like, hanging out with this kid. And they're like, that sounds insane. But then it turns out that it was like an after-school special to, like, have kids stop smoking.
Okay, but it does exist.
Yeah, it does exist. Okay. And so, like, for, I guess I just for forever was describing it poorly.
Yep.
But I was like, I've watched this. I've watched this a billion times. I sure. know exactly what this is. And there's, like, a smoke monster, and that's the bad guy. And then... yeah,
it definitely sounds like a dream.
Yeah, the way I'm describing it, but it's like, you know, All-Star Cartoons to the Rescue or something, and it's like, yeah, we're like saving this kid from, like, her older brother from, like, doing drugs.
My goodness. Yeah, mine's the Bill. Do you have one?
The one I thought of right away was the Empire Strikes Back one, but I'm looking at a couple of them here on the internet, and somebody said in the chat, King Pizza Rat said, Berenstain versus Berenstain Bears.
Right. It's yeah. to me always the Berenstain it's, Bears. They're, yeah. they're the Berenstain Bears. And then there's like, no, it's actually
Berenstain.
And it's like, okay, I'm sure you're right, but no, it's not.
Yeah. So then that you would be
mine.
Mean?
You know what I
that
mean?
That would be mine. Because I always thought Bears. The Berenstain Bears.
Berenstain Bears. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else do you have?
There was a fascinating thing about them on, I want to say it was either Defunct Land or Yesterworld, one of those two YouTube channels.
On the Berenstain Bears?
Yeah.
I will say it like that every time.
Yeah, and it was just their history and everything that they have going on and their inclusion in Knoxberry Farm, a theme park that's down the street from Disneyland that's very, very fun.
Okay. Bill, would either one of you have guessed that there was a Dash and Kit Kat just from Insanity?
Yes, 100%.
I just saw that
one when I was scrolling by on this thing here.
And it's not, and there isn't. And
no, there isn't.
And you Google image Kit Kat, and it's like, no, the yeah. act there isn't, and there never was.
I would have bet money on it.
And there never was. I thought it was just this little dash. I could just yeah. see it. It's little.
Kind of that, like, it took me a while to remember that Spider-Man is two words and has a dash.
Yeah, Batman, one word. Iron Man, two words. Spider-Man is hyphenated.
Yes.
Hyphenated. Spider-Man is hyphenated,
and
but
no
he's gonna,
longer belonging to Disney.
But after he hyphenates after he hyphenates for the winter, he'll come out in the spring and eat his nuts.
Yeah. Here's a good one from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Now that you bring up Disney,
I don't feel good about that.
Good, I'm glad.
Everybody thinks that the line is "mirror, mirror on the wall," but it's actually "magic mirror on the wall."
It is. She doesn't say "mirror, mirror on the wall." She says "magic mirror on the wall."
Yeah.
And yeah, that's there's a if you look, Google the Mandela Effect, there's a lot of really fun ones that make you go like, huh, I've been wrong about everything.
Hello, Clarice. Silence of the Lambs.
I also learned that the hole in the cutting board is not for me to, like, put my hand through to put it away. It's you're supposed to, like, chop stuff.
And then put it through there.
And then, yeah, and then you, like, into if you, like, put it in a pan or whatever, it goes right through the little hole instead of going all over the place. And I always thought it was like, oh, I need a built-in handle.
Yeah, right.
And I'm dumb, I guess. You know what I mean? All things considered. I wanted you guys to know I gathered to that.
Oh, remember we were watching the Mandela Effect video like a couple weeks ago on what's that YouTube channel that puts out like a top 10 every day?
Oh, Mojo.
Watch Mojo. Yeah.
They're fun.
Mr. Rogers' theme song. Remember, it was we thought it was It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Yeah,
but it's not. It's a Beautiful Day in This Neighborhood,
which just can't be true, but it is.
It is.
Again, Skin.
I remember hearing that one on there.
Layers of Skin, oh, parallel man. Universes. Nothing is as it seems.
Oh yeah, life is a box is like a box of chocolates.
What is it?
Life is a box of chocolates, not life.
Yeah,
it's not life is like.
It's not life is like a box
what
of chocolates.
Fuck?
It's life is a box. Like what is it? Life's a box of chocolates.
Life is a box of chocolates.
Right. Mama says life is a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
You never know what you'll get.
Crazy.
Yep. Nothing you know is real. Question everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, again, last week I prided myself in no segues, and we're just going to
keep going.
Right.
You're going to keep going?
Saturday, August 31st, AEW puts on a big time, look at me, here we go, highly anticipated event, All Out. If you can believe in the show, like you were saying, if you could believe the first edition of this before the great computer crash of 2019.
Yeah.
We were talking about how the season.
Sausage Wrangler.
The season that there was a Sausage Wrangler involved. It's great stuff. Listen live or you missed it forever. It's like watching a TV show in the 90s. Didn't see that episode? You never will.
Until it's on Disney Plus.
We were talking about, yeah, but in the 90s. It was like, oh, you didn't see that episode of Boy Meets World? Guess what? You never will.
Yeah.
You never will.
You better cross your fingers that every rerun on ABC Family.
Yeah. Yeah, but ABC Family, like, I'm talking 90s style, baby. Uh-huh. I'm talking, like, you didn't see that episode of Urkel?
It's over.
You never will. I mean, and now you get to. Now yeah, you get to.
Now you get to.
But when you were a 90s before. Kid, it was like, no, you never will. Oh, you didn't see Sting come down and beat up the NWO? You never will.
Yeah.
You're 11 and your life is ending. Anywhoozle, there is a big event. Because you can believe the passage, I promise there was something in there. They're talking about the passage of time and how seasons are changing and weather's getting cooler and all. Yeah. Well, we're going to blink and it's fall. This is the last show of August of the year of August. And speaking of seasons changing and time passing by, the reason I brought that up is it's been almost a year since the New Age Insiders packed their bags and went to Chicago for All In.
And I had all the food poisoning.
Yeah, you did. No one else did. I got called a bitch by ODB, a memory I will cherish fondly.
We got knocked out by one badass old-fashioned.
Yep, ODB is a woman, by the way. If you're new to the show and don't know who ODB is, she is a woman.
Yeah,
she has a food
not
truck.
Not a part of the Wu-Tang Clan.
And she goes, you're going to order something, bitch? But she said it with enough love that makes me go like, okay, I'm that bitch. And I just walk, you know, and I'm like,
and the food was good.
I'm like not a small guy, and I'm just like, I'm the bitch, can I have some nachos?
It was also really funny.
I said it just like that.
It was so funny because we had like press and stuff, and it really didn't mean jack shit at that first start.
Oh
guest.
God, no.
But I just basically acted as if it did. And so the one event that I wanted to go to was the weigh-in, and everybody was like lined up down and around the corner.
What do they weigh? Like an elephant?
Oh yeah. Well, all the wrestlers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Versus an elephant?
Yeah, versus an elephant. Okay. See who's bigger. But so they had the media line, and they're like, we're going to let all of these people in first, and then we'll let the media in. And I just looked at the guy, and I go, that's not how this is supposed to work. And I just walked right in, and it was so funny because Ant was standing right next to me, and he had been like standing there, like waiting patiently like a good boy.
No.
And I was like, fuck this shit. You know who I am?
Whoop, whoop.
I am
Superhuman.
I am Liam Stryker of the New Age Insiders. Fuck your lines.
I'm super humming.
Yeah. He's going to be here, or he's going to be at StarCast 3.
Whoop, good, whoop, I hope you like
good,
it.
Good for him. And when he dies sometime in mid-2021, which is my prediction, then we'll all really cry at that
funeral.
Didn't
we have an email correspondence with him?
It was over Skype.
It was like, he basically tweeted out, he goes, yo, I would like to do podcasts. And then Bill was like, would you like to do ours? He goes, yeah, let's do it right now.
At like 2 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Right, and we're like, well, we can't do it. We'll do it tonight, though, if you want to record. He's like, you're lost. And then, and then began to like type and respond exactly how you'd think Super Hummin would.
Yeah.
I could pull the conversation back up and read it word for word.
Because I remember that being like, I'll interview that fucking guy.
Yeah, sure.
And he's just like, you gotta do it right now. And it's like, well, we got a job. Our job isn't fucking swan diving onto thumbtacks. So yeah. I got stuff to
like,
do.
Like, we're not paid by the government so that I can swan dive into thumbtacks.
And he's just like, too bad. I might not be in the mood to do a podcast later. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay.
All right.
Okie doke.
All right. Well, at least, which one was better? That or Leo Rush?
asking questions.
Requesting a first, like a first class plane.
Should we listen to it on the air?
Leo Rush goes, oh yeah, no, I'll do your show. Yes, but yes, you gotta, we should. Leo Rush goes, I'll do your show, but you got to fly me in and put me up and pay me $1,000.
And I won't do the show for more than a half hour.
Right, Leo, if you think that I'm going to fly you in, put you up, pay you a grand, and only have you for a half an hour, I mean... Leo, I don't want you
We're
at
hanging
all.
Out for the weekend.
Right, like, I don't want you at all. Sometimes Flip just comes over.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean? Like, I'm not... Oh, my goodness. I'll never... Yeah. That email was, like, outright. If you could crumple up a computer and throw it in the trash,
yeah,
that's what I wanted to do with that email. AEW. So, anyway...
The second anniversary show.
Yeah, right. Like, wow, it's been a year. Unbelievable time and all that stuff. And I really just very quickly.
Why'd you move the plate, Colin?
Why'd you move the plate? RIP, Danny's lap. But in all seriousness, the reason I bring up it's been a year is because, and I mean this, what a year they've had.
Yeah.
Now, there are things that come with AEW that, you know, as we kind of, you know, put jelly beans on both sides of this scale. AEW can come with, and this is mostly fans' fault because that's everything in wrestling these days, unfortunately, is when it comes to extremes.
Right.
Wrestling fans make wrestling awesome, and then wrestling fans can make the online experience tough. That's how I would describe
Nauseating.
It. Right. And it really is because it's great to be in a wrestling crowd and wrestling fans are awesome and drive this thing. It's just like, the internet experience can get exhausting. Anywho, the point being is that look what they have become in a year. A year ago, Cody Rhodes and the Bucks, basically powered by the momentum they had created within this new Bullet Club, put on a show and go, hey, if we put out 10,000, was it 5,000 chairs?
Something like that.
That was the goal. And they sold 11, there was 11,000 people in the building.
Right.
And it's like, okay, that's an incredible response. And a calendar year later, they have a promotion that people are talking about with a former WWE star or two or three. They're only getting more this is a highly anticipated show. I would argue that this show, as far as like the internet buzzy side of things, is more anticipated than SummerSlam was.
Yes.
And so it's just before we dive into this show, because I don't want to just spend any more time reminiscing. But in 1 year, they went from, would anybody come if we put on a show full of indie guys?
If we just put on a show.
With our buddies. Amazing indie talent. But if we put on like the best indie show you've ever heard of, right? Indie Woodstock.
Yeah.
Would anybody come? And not only would they come, it would sell out. And not only would it sell out, it would lead to them going, okay, we've all been thinking about starting a promotion. Let's just do it.
Well, I would also think that All In order to get the Khan's attention, had to happen. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the cons were on board until they did the event.
Right, because you got to think, I mean, this was literally the equivalent of, like, the NWO being like, if we put on a show, Nash, Hall, and Hogan, and believe me, and this is worth noting, Cody Rhodes and the Bucks do not have the star power of Nash, Hall, and Hogan, right? So I'll say it for you. But what I'm saying is it's just like, hey, we're this group, this popular group.
Yeah, we're going to put on a wrestling show.
And would it sell? And again, like, it's just a note of progress to say that in 1 year, no matter what you think about AEW, what you think about the online experience, it's very, very impressive 365 days they've had.
This was going to be a one-off thing, and they were going to go back to Ring of Honor in New Japan, and that was going to be the end of it, right?
They might do this once a year.
Yeah, maybe this is what we do once a year, and we get everybody to do it, and we have a fun one night a year, right? But no, that show does so well that, hey, maybe we should have a promotion. Well, now the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars wants a piece. And so now all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, yeah, let's launch our own promotion. And now TNT wants to get involved because the owner of the Jaguars is involved. You know what I mean? And so now it's like, oh, we're in. We have a show.
Yeah, for real. Before specifics, how excited are you for AEW's All Out?
I'm really excited for it. I think that they're going to kind of pull out all the stops. I mean, it takes a bit of a hit when it comes to the announcement that Jon Moxley is injured and won't be able to be there.
Yep.
So we won't get the conclusion to the thing that kind of kicked off the official AEW like show series in Jon Moxley coming down and taking out Kenny Omega. But now we have our first built-in surprise return, right? Because eventually Jon Moxley is going to return and he's going to attack Kenny Omega. It's going to be interesting to see once the TV actually comes what happens to Being the Elite. But on Being the Elite this week, Kenny Omega really dug in a promo against Jon Moxley. And it just embedded that rivalry more and made it even more must see when it finally happens.
It's clearly just an opinion question, but that's why we do what we do. The number can be zero. The number can be in the dozens. The number can be in the hundreds. The number can be in the thousands. How many people, how much does John Moxley not being able to be there affect this show's buy rate?
I do think that it affects it. I can't put an actual number on it just because I, you know, I'm terrible at those.
I'm just saying picture things. Is it dozens? Is it hundreds? Is it thousands?
I think it's hundreds. Okay. Right. Because I think that Chris Jericho is still a major driving force to it. I think that there are people, there are two camps, right? There are the people that already saw, like, they heard about John Moxley, started paying attention, yeah, and they either stayed tuned in and are going to get it anyway, or they heard that he was there, watched the first couple of shows, and then are tuned out. But I don't think that you're either in or out at this point, and I don't think there were any last-minute decisions. It's like, oh, John Moxley's not here, so I'm not going to watch it. Because anybody that's on the fence like that might still stay because Pac is here.
I think that there's a number. It's bigger than zero and probably less than 1,000.
Yeah.
But there's a number, because here's why. Because this thing's $50. Right. If you're talking about how, because recently they put on basically a free purview kind of show.
Fight for the Fallen.
Right. And if you're talking about like their debut on TNT in October or whatever you're talking about that would have been a free experience, then the number is incredibly minimal because there's nothing for me. I'm just going to tune in or I'm not, whatever, right, like you said. With this being, and again, I think this matters. I don't think it's trivial to say if this thing was $25,
oh, yeah,
the number would be smaller. But I do think there are enough people that are like, look, I've seen enough internet, like you were saying, same thing. I've seen enough internet clips of what, you know, they're, you know, in their head, bear with me. I've seen enough clips of what Dean Ambrose is up to out there.
Right.
That this show is, people are talking about it. You know, it's going to be one of those things where Jericho's there. You're like, I'll check it out and he's the cherry on top. I'll do it. And quite frankly, there are just some people that are big enough Shield Ambrose WWE fans that would pay only for that guy. $50 being the reason why.
Yeah, that's the only unfortunate thing. And hopefully once the TV finally kicks in and we're generating more revenue, because the thing is that the reason why this show's $50 is because it has to be, right, to actually pay for it.
Because they have to start charging you.
Right, because, I have to start, you know, the number can come down once I'm getting Pepsi and I'm getting, you know, Geico
Snickers
and
Crunch.
Snickers Crunch to actually sponsor my weekly television show.
1-800-CALL-ATT.
You know, yeah. Once I can get Packer Bell to...
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going old school.
Dude, you're getting Adele.
Yeah, once we can get that. But that's the thing. So I hope that this is the last $50 pay-per-view because, and I can do it.
It won't be.
That'll
take at least a year, in my opinion.
Because, and I can do a whole show on just how important the WWE network is to media. We can have that conversation in a different show because I can go all night about it and how fascinating it is. But they set the pace, especially for wrestling, right? $10.
Especially when you're on top.
Yeah.
I'm the best. I'm the biggest. Right. I'm not the best. Whatever.
Right.
I think I am. I'm the biggest. I'm the biggest. I'm the biggest. I can charge you whatever I want. I charge $10.
Right.
How dare you charge more than me?
Yeah. Well, and I'm just accustomed to it. I've had 5 WrestleManias for $10. Yeah, it's real tough. It's real. Like, look, I'm going to watch it because I really want to watch this show. But I know that there's enough people out there that'll be like, I'll watch it on the internet later.
Well, here's the other thing, too, about this. Like, so I have, this house has cut the cord.
Yeah.
We have the internet because obviously you need to have the internet, and that's something that I rely on your provider for. But I don't have traditional cable anymore.
Right.
I have YouTube TV and a Chromecast, and that's how I watch my live TV and live sports and local sports and all that stuff, right? Point being, guess how much I pay for that for the month? $50.
Right.
And so you're asking me, and I understand why. I'm not vilifying them for this.
Right.
They got bills to pay and expenses, and they are going to have to start running like a wrestling company. It can't just be Cody Rhodes presents everything you've ever wanted for free. I really get it. But what I'm telling you is you're out in a new world where people are looking at their bills and watching what they pay for and line iteming their month more than ever.
Yeah, right.
You're asking me to pay for one show what YouTube TV is asking me to pay for a month's worth of TV, unlimited DVR. Right.
Well, even the apples to apples. WWE asked me to pay $10 for SummerSlam.
Yep.
So,
and that's SummerSlam
and a whole bunch of other stuff.
And a whole bunch of other stuff, but just one to one, right? You're asking me to
Give me the first one free.
A tentpole pay-per-view, right? Because whether it is All In or Double or Nothing or All Out or, you know, this is your tentpole show. And
agreed.
You're asking me to pay $50. WWE asked me to pay $10. And so that's going to catch up to them. Again, I think it's also because I don't have the advertising revenue that I had.
Exactly. Because what Vince can do is, like, you're right, what AEW is, and they hate this, but I think what's going to have to happen for at this price point is going to be Cody Rhodes wants to do everything old school, right? Basically wants to bring back the 90s. It's going to be, you know what I'm talking about? Pay-per-view parties.
Yeah, right.
Everybody give me $10.
Yeah.
I'm going to order this $50 show.
Yeah, everybody give me $10.
Everybody bring $20. We're going to order the show and pizza.
Yeah.
Those days are going to come back. You know what I mean? Where you bring
them on. That's the plan for Saturday.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. Like literally, right? But everybody bring $20 so we can order the show and pizza.
Right.
And that was what I used to do with my buddies for like
ever.
The WWF pay-per-views and stuff is we go over a house, $20. That covers we'll pay your parents for the pay-per-view and the guy for the pizza.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so if AEW wants to do that, great. But what I would tell you is you're going to have five people watching and one guy paying. And Vince, the very opposite, has five guys paying
and
sometimes nobody's even watching,
but
they just have it. Like sometimes people just don't watch Battleground.
Right.
And they paid for it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I get you. But let's talk about the show because I am excited for AEW's All Out. I sincerely am. There's a lot of reason to be optimistic about wrestling and AEW specifically, and I want to focus on what should be a really fun show. Let's just go through the card.
Yeah.
And break this down like any other big pay-per-view coming up because AEW is on the map. So let's do this.
First thing that I just want to kind of bring up before we actually get into the matches is I've roasted WWE about SummerSlam, right? And how SummerSlam didn't give me anything to want to tune in.
Yeah, right.
There was nothing there that was like, wow, now I need to tune in to Raw to see how X wraps up or Y wraps up. And
X going to give it to you.
And how X is going to give it to you. And so basically I love that there are several matches on here. Obviously crowning a new world champion is going to be very, very must see, and we have theories as to how something might shake out, and we'll get there. But a team is going to have a first round bye in the AEW tag tournament. That's on the line. The women is going to, you know, get a, like, basically a match for the inaugural women's championship. And so there are these built-in things inside this pay-per-view that make you need to watch, like, if you like it, compel you to watch when the show kicks off in October.
We've said this 100 times. The goal of the TV is to get you to buy the pay-per-view, and the goal of the pay-per-view is to get you to want to watch the TV, because the goal of the TV is to get you to buy the pay-per-view, and the goal of the pay-per-view is to get you to want to watch the TV, because the goal of the TV is to get you to buy the pay-per-view.
It's crazy.
And so that cycle you're talking about is not revolutionary, but fundamental.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
So, they're, like you said, it's a great point. There are going to be things. This show, which is a great point, we're kind of used to, if you're a WWE fan, and come on, we all watch the show, everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
If you're a WWE fan, you're used to pay-per-views mostly having a great deal of conclusions, or haha, they're supposed to.
Yeah,
I know,
right.
WWE, haha. But the point being is, usually the point of a pay-per-view is we've built up this rivalry, it's blown up into a pay-per-view level match, we're going to have it, and then probably move on. Yes, there are series, and yes, there are rematches, I gotcha. But my point being here is All Out's goal, like SummerSlam's goal, was to have conclusions. We didn't get one to Randy Orton versus whatever, but we got one to Brock and Seth, right?
Yep.
We didn't get one to Orton and Kofi because they're vaginas with those kind of decisions. But, like, so, like, Charlotte Flair beat Trish Stratus. She now calls herself the greatest of all eras. We got something out of it.
Yeah,
we moved on, right? SummerSlam was about conclusions, as most WWE pay-per-views are supposed to be.
Right.
All Out, like you said, will do a great job of being like, these are continuations that lead to more things. It's a bigger event, but it also, like, there's a through line here. And I think it's smart of them to do so. Bill, what is the first match on 2019's? Also, do you think that, just very quickly, because I am interested in your answer, will we ever do All In again because All In didn't belong to AEW? Would it be All In 2? Is it All In, All Out, All Together now? Do we just keep All and then keep doing a different name every time? What do we do with this? What do we do with this intellectual property?
So I wouldn't do All In ever again because they went All In on the first time and now it's time to go All Out.
Okay.
So I like that naming convention.
Do we do like, again, like I'm not even trying to be corny. Do we do like All Together now or All?
I would do that until you can come up with unique pay-per-views that kind of stick. Like I wouldn't do Double or Nothing anymore.
Okay.
Unless it's in Vegas.
Okay, so we got All In, All Out. Could we do All or Nothing?
All or Nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, like, you know, All Out, All In.
All or Nothing.
All or Nothing.
All Together now.
All Together now.
All Together now. All Together now. Right? We could do that, right?
Yeah.
That'll be a fun Twitter topic.
It will be.
Name the All AEW pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But we can even do All Elite, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
right.
That's the name of the goddamn company. But I don't know. I'm just curious because yeah. I don't know.
I'd keep it, you know, kind of like how it was all like it was In Your House.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, and then it was like In Your House, St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Even TakeOver.
Yeah.
Before they did just the towns, it was TakeOver Arrival, TakeOver,
right.
you know.
Fatal 4-Way.
Right, right. The most strategically named one.
Yeah.
But like, wasn't it like our Arrival and.
Our Evolution.
Right. And, was, you know, you could do that. I don't
yeah.
know. Let's have some fun with it, Cody.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun. What are the matches, Bill?
All right, so let's start with this one. This one sounds super fun to me. We got a six-man tag team match, and it's Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt taking on SCU.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a ton of fun. I mean, they've kind of locked in at the top spot of, like, being the show opener. You know, they're so goddamn over, you know, the SoCal Uncensored.
I love Christopher Daniels' Queen outfits.
And I think yeah. people love Jungle Boy, and I think that Stunt has just become this internet phenomenon. I love Luchasaurus.
Yeah.
Yes. I love the look. I love the gimmick. I love, like, I am all about him, like, wearing that mask and just being 99 Kane, where it's just like, hey, do you want to play along? Because he doesn't think he's a dinosaur. But at the same time, it's like
right.
he wears an over-the-top mask. Look, he's named Luchasaurus. It's like, yeah, buddy, that's pro wrestling. That's what pro
yeah.
wrestling is.
Yep.
I like that guy a lot. I would have SCU go over just because
yeah.
like that's how we get the crowd into it and they can chant stuff. And ultimately, yep. that threesome is a more important
threesome than this tag team. And
but if you told me that there was some sort of like crazy spot where all three of them hit something wild and it's just to have like Marco Stunt and Jungle Boy go like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
right.
then I could believe
nuts, yeah.
I could believe that too, to get the crowd in early, especially since you told me it might be the opener.
Right.
So that's my, I would put SCU over. Something in my heart and gut tells me that you're supposed
right.
to feel good about Jungle Boy. And so we'll do that.
Yeah. I wonder if SCU will open the show again because they opened All In and they opened, Double or Nothing as well. So I wonder
right.
if they'll open this one. Another tag team match on the card, and we've seen these guys live a couple times at Wrestling Has It Tomorrow. We got Private Party taking on Angelico and Jack Evans.
Private Party are great.
Yeah, I can't begin to tell you how excited I am that they got signed
yeah,
to AEW.
Same here.
They are
same
terrific.
Here.
They are a lot of fun. They are basically like Jersey Shore nut party goer, like just
what was that group?
LMFAO.
Yeah.
Like guys, like
right.
they just, but they're fun. They're the kind of guys where so it's very, very, very difficult to, I would say impossible, right? To just like make someone cool and like have them own,
right.
like you got to either, like I couldn't bring a guy off the street and been like, let me tell you what I want out of the Velveteen Dream.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? That guy's just got to be like, this is in
what I'm doing.
This is inside
yeah.
me, and I'm going to get, you know what I mean?
You're right.
Like, I couldn't.
The best way that I've described them.
But I couldn't teach you how to be
right.
Private Party. That's
oh,
that's what I'm saying.
Right.
I couldn't cast these guys. This is just how great they are as performers.
I would say it's like the Fashion Police, the Young Bucks, and Street Profits had a baby.
Yep, with, they go by LAX now.
Yeah.
They were LMF.
EYFBO.
EYFBO.
Entertaining Bingo, your freaking balls
and,
off.
And Bingo was their name-o. Now they're LAX.
Well, they used to be LAX because they're no longer with Impact.
Oh, okay.
And they might show up here.
But they're great. They're
yes.
awesome. And I'm rooting for
right.
them. They're so much fun. They're like every single thing WWE wanted Adam Rose and No Way Jose to be.
Yes.
That they were never, yep, ever going to be.
You're 100% right.
And they're great. They're a reason. You know, in a company that needs this Saturday, and that I think they can and will, but they need to give you reasons to watch.
Yep.
And this tag team's one of them.
Correct.
All right, we have the 21 woman casino battle royal on the card, and the winner receives.
There are 21 female wrestlers not in the WWE.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry if I'm a monster, but holy crap!
Yeah, it's crazy, right? And the winner receives a championship match for the inaugural women's championship on the first TNT broadcast, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I want to.
That is cool.
I want to say that Awesome Kong's got to win this.
Yeah, there's 10 women that have been announced.
Who's got it?
Nyla Rose. We've got Britt Baker, Ali, Brandy, Teal Piper, who I believe is related to Roddy, Ivelisse, Jazz, Big Swole, Sadie Gibbs, and Awesome Kong.
Okay, I'm gonna bet on Flip Gordon or Jordan Grace, or Flip Jordan Grace.
I gotta think that Awesome Kong,
right? Because you want to have splash. You want to have a big splash. You want to have somebody to watch. You want to have. I think it's ultimately going to end up being like a Britt Baker,
yep,
versus Awesome Kong.
You know why you also want to keep her going as long as you can, like relevant in your company, is because GLOW is still a thing,
right?
And when GLOW comes back a year from now, if she's even just in your world,
right,
there's cross promotion there to be had.
You know, right. You know what's crazy though is because I watch GLOW as well. You wonder how many people in the wrestling community actually know that she is Welfare Queen.
I didn't until
you told me. Doesn't
look
like her at all.
But the thing is, like, it's, you know why? It's because she hasn't been anywhere where they're telling you that.
Right, exactly.
If she was a WWE superstar, they would mention that every week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
And so, like, if she's in AEW and they're telling you, that'll change her whole world in that regard.
Right.
Not on a WWE level, I hear you.
But
it's still much more than being literally nowhere and telling no one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I got to think Brandy has a pretty legitimate shot at this.
Yeah, she does too. But, you know, I kind of want to put, like, for if it, the first show on October 2nd, I want to have a monster versus a super baby. So, like, I want Awesome Kong versus Britt Baker or Allie.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's where we're headed.
You know
something
what I mean?
Like that.
Because that's what I want. Or, you know, Nyla Rose has a shot at this.
Yep.
But I want a big bad guy to dominate and win this. So, because I don't have any more TV between now and when I have that championship match. So I need to have somebody look big and strong and mean and evil. Because
so when Britt Baker beats her, it's like, oh wow, look what she had to do to get
right.
that thing. It's
right.
amazing. I couldn't agree with you more. And just because you can see it coming doesn't mean it's bad if they do it the right way.
Right.
Well, I think we all had a pretty good idea that Thanos was going to lose, right? Had a good time in the movie. Enjoy the show, nerds. Crystal Ball. Who's the first AEW Women's Champion?
I think it's Britt Baker.
So do I.
I think it's Britt Baker.
It's a good call. It's a good call. There's a Japanese singles match on the card, which usually ends up being pretty good. We've got Rio taking on Hikaru Shida.
I like Rio. I think she's just delightful. So I'm going to go with her.
I know nothing about either competitor, and I have no opinion. I'm not going to lie.
Fair enough.
I agree with you because I think you're smart.
Okay. This is going to be really fun. It's a Cracker Barrel Clash.
Yes.
It's a three-way.
Why don't they call it Clasher Barrel?
Because Cracker Barrel is sponsoring it.
Cracker Barrel of Monkey. All right. I'll figure something out. I'll get there.
All right. So we got Darby Allin taking on Joey Janela and Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah. I hope that this just devolves into a hardcore nonsense.
Yeah. What this is. So I think what AEW is trying to do, and rightfully so, is show you that they can give you a little bit of everything. Because what the Double or Nothing showed me was, we're not afraid. They went a little whoa with it. But the point of Goldust versus Cody Rhodes wasn't just because we're going to have an emotional match between brothers. It was, we're not afraid to blade.
Right.
And somebody's not going to bleed to death every week.
Yeah, right.
But we're not afraid to blade. That was the point of the match,
right?
Or the point of that part of it. And so what I think what this show is supposed to do is show you, once again, there's going to be a Japanese women's match. There's going to be a women's battle royal scenario. There's going to be a Jimmy Havoc match, which will be full of blood and weapons and, oh my God, and tax and scariness, right? and Darby Allin will jump off something and make your heart stop, and then everything's going to, that's what they do, right? Darby Allin will take the kind of risk on the apron that's going to make you want to...
That freaking bump at Double or Nothing was right, insane. Yeah.
Right, and so that guy will do something like that, and Jimmy Havoc will be gushing blood by the end of the thing, and I get you, because what they're trying to do is be like, whatever kind of wrestling you like, we offer it in this show. Everything, like it's a, you know, it's a pizza. It's going to be 8 matches. You're going to like one of the slices, you know what I mean? And so what I expect out of this, I expect them to have a lot of fun. If you like bloody trash can thumbtack spots, this is going to be the match for you. I think that Darby Allin goes over because he's got a lot of juice right now and the kid's young.
Right.
And Jimmy Havoc beating Jimmy Havoc. People that know who Jimmy Havoc is know that beating him in that kind of match is a big deal. So let's go Darby Allin, I guess, because he's young.
I think that Jimmy Havoc's going to win. Just because I have to introduce him to an audience that I don't think has ever watched Progress before.
Sure, and he's the hardcore guy.
And he's going to be my scary hardcore guy. And
he's the Sandman.
Right.
And people have gotten taste on AEW programming and on All In of Darby Allin and Joey Janela.
And winning helps that credibility.
Right, and the big thing is that I don't know what their plans for him are, but based on what Progress was able to do with Jimmy Havoc, he can be a main event guy. And right now we have Adam Page and Chris Jericho and MGF and Kenny Omega, you know, and Cody's obviously floating around there as well. So they don't need him right away, but I need to give him credibility and not make him feel like a joke right away.
Yeah.
Because, if Hangman Page was to beat Chris Jericho and become the AEW champion, Jimmy Havoc feels like a good first opponent for him.
Yeah, he'll be like a Tommy, this is for ECW fans only, real one, 90s, like Tommy Dreamer. Like, I'm not sure Jimmy Havoc will ever be the AEW champion.
Right.
But they will probably make him look like he could be.
Right.
And that was Dreamer. You know, shy of those 7 minutes or whatever. Dreamer, we didn't need him to be the champion. But he could have been.
Could have been.
We need him to be. We could have been. That kind of idea. That's a great point. I maybe even changed my pick to Jimmy Havoc.
All right. The best friends, Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta, are taking on the Dark Order. It's Evil Uno and Stu Grayson. And the winners receive a first round bye in the AEW World Tag Team Championship Tournament.
I love both of these teams, by the way.
First of all, I love the Dark Order, formerly the Super Smash Brothers. That was their
team. They're the ones that debuted with the lights out.
I love the evil version of the Smash Brothers. I love the Dark Order. I love everything about it. It feels great. They're a fantastic team, and this is going to be a great exposure for them because I lost my mind, and I know that I'm like the only one out of like a handful of people that lost their mind when they debuted at Double or Nothing.
They shouldn't have got that debut. That was not their fault. Yeah. They're not big enough stars to get a lights out, oh my God, they're here moment.
Well, because people like me lost their mind when they showed up. The only problem is that there was like a couple thousand of us.
Right, but I think Cody and the Bucks thought people were going to react like it was the Briscoes.
Right, and if it was the Briscoes, that place would have went cuckoo banana.
But they got a lights out, oh my God.
Who's here?
That's a Briscoes level, holy crap, can you believe it?
Right.
But I think they're going to win just because what they're going to be in this promotion, you know, you start with a win over the best friends who doesn't matter if they win or lose.
Well, and again, just kind of like what we just talked about with the triple threat, I've seen the best friends. Right? And so I need you to take the Dark Order seriously. And this is just for a first round bye. Right. So they're like, if we decide on October 2nd that the Dark Order wasn't the right choice, the best friends could beat them then and no harm, no foul.
Gotcha.
So I need the Dark Order to come in and be spooky and evil and mean and big. And this is for something that they can win and have as like, oh, we're big and evil and we win stuff without it actually meaning anything.
Sure.
Because, they just get a first round bye in a tournament.
Yep. Gotcha. Go them. Go Dark Order.
All right, Cody is taking on Sean Spears, and he will have Tully Blanchard in his corner.
Oh. Let me ask you a question, and don't tell me the answer you think you're supposed to say. Tell me the truth. Do you care about Sean Spears?
You know what? I don't.
Of course you don't.
I don't yet.
Of course you don't, because he's Ty Dillinger. And everybody's, no, he's not, and I'm a jerk and all that. Yeah, no, I'm right. He's Ty Dillinger. He was Ty Dillinger for too long to be like, take me seriously, I'm Sean Spears. Like, look, he's a very good wrestler and all that stuff, right? Guess what you are? You're Peyton Royce's husband. You're Ty Dillinger, dude. So you're not good enough to reinvent yourself now. You've been Ty Dillinger too long.
This is where I would disagree.
Okay.
Only because this is the linchpin, right? You're in the ring with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
This is your match. If you're ever going to be something other than Ty Dillinger,
okay,
this is the match.
Okay.
You can't put up a mash showing or not captivate the crowd because I think you're going to win. I think you're going to beat Cody. So if you don't have this like whoa kind of match, yep, then yeah, you're going to fall flat.
You know who he's going to be? He is going to be Damian Sandow, where, oh, watch out, he's off the WWE rails now, so watch out for, what was it, Aaron Rex or something, bullshit.
Yeah.
And that guy got...
Impact.
Right, and I'm not telling you that Sean Spears is going to get fat and leave in 6 months, but what I'm telling you is that, guess who this guy is? Ty Dillinger. Because, and this isn't a fault thing, just hear me out. Even if he's very, very good on Saturday,
right,
do you know how good he has to be for you to be like, wow, there's a new kid in town, and this isn't the guy I've been watching for 5 years at the mid-card level, lucky to get on shows. And now all of a sudden, just because he's former, I mean, this is a nobody, and just because he's former WWE nobody, I'm supposed to be like, oh, watch out, Sean Spears is in the house. See, it's a terrible name, by the way. Why isn't your name just like something cool like 10? Why isn't that your name? Yeah. Why, you suck. I'm sorry. You're Ty Dillinger. I'm sorry.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
You're not Razor Ramon that gets to come here and be like, I'm basically still Razor Ramon, but my real name's Scott Hall and you're all in trouble. You don't get to do that. You're Ty Dillinger.
Well, this is the linchpin, right?
I agree with you there.
Because it's one of two ways.
So what does he have to do?
He has to put on a quality match and kind of captivate me as a viewer, right? And I don't need this crazy over-the-top character reinvention, but basically what you're telling me is that you were pigeonholed by the 10 gimmick and okay, it's exactly like Jon Moxley, right? Hey, I wasn't into Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose didn't do it for me. And now you're telling me that you don't have any of that control.
But the big deal factor came with him.
Right, but even still.
I think they're very different.
Well, no.
Literally, when he left, he was on the level, like, right now, if it was like, oh, they, like, literally be like, oh, they got Apollo Crews. Or, oh, man, can you believe they snag? Like, literally, they snag Zack Ryder. It's like,
but like
neat, former
but like
WWE
Neville.
Guy.
Like, Neville came out and was like, I'm Pac and I'm different now because
Pac won stuff.
But so I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt on this one. I'm not ready to close the
book. We haven't seen him do anything yet.
Right. I haven't seen him.
Aside from clock Cody in the head and
I'm just talking about the fact that it's like, so I agree with you, right? So like Neville, right? But what Neville was Pac was an established guy. Even if you never knew that before, Neville was a NXT champion, cruiserweight champion, guy that got a match at WrestleMania.
Right.
Like that's a guy. So when he shows up and he goes, screw that company, it's me again, you go like, oh, here we go. That is not the kind of credibility that Ty Dillinger walks in a room with.
Right.
It's just not.
So, but this story isn't take me seriously.
It's not?
Well, not in the like, I'm away from WWE, take me seriously. The story is that Cody Rhodes basically belittled him because it was like, you were a nobody in WWE, and you're going to be a nobody here, and you're fine. And so Sean Spears is taking exception to that. So the story is yeah, I'm... You're telling me I'm a nobody. They told me I'm a nobody, but I'm not a nobody.
Right. This guy's out to prove himself.
And so now,
and
here's the thing.
And you're right.
You got to prove it now. And so now if you go out there and your match is okay and your match isn't great and you mess up a couple times, then yeah, man, you are a nobody. But if you go out there and you give me something worth investing in, sure.
I just think that the uphill battle, and I feel like I'm burying this guy in particular, but he's the living example. If you're Dean Ambrose and you go to this company, you go, hi, I'm former WWE champion, part of the biggest deal they've had in forever. Right. I'm Dean Flippin' Ambrose. I'm going to be a little different. You got to call me Jon Moxley now. And his matches go from 7.5s to 9s. And you go, great. Ty Dillinger's going to go like, yeah, I've basically wasn't even a somebody in NXT, yet alone the main roster, but I'm here and I hit Cody with a chair because it's time for people to take Sean Spears, which is a terrible pro wrestler's name. Doesn't roll out. It sounds like local talent. I'm Sean Spears and I'm here to be taken serious. It's like, who cares? You're a nobody.
Yeah.
You're a nobody. Why do I care? And maybe he'll give me a reason to, but here's my actual point to it. So it doesn't sound like I'm burying him. He comes in with like lukewarm 3-level momentum. And so if he's going to get to a 9 to maybe go like, wow, that's a huge gap. I don't know what he could do on Saturday to make me like, oh, wow, that, you know, Ty Dillinger's
dead. Well, I think
I don't know.
Everything's a like, slow build. It's a new beginning, right? And so he doesn't need to come in here and be like, wow, that's a new AEW world champion contender right there.
I thought that was his goal. I thought that's why he got the Triple H match, right? Well, isn't that what Cody is, the Triple H match?
But again, it's the starting point, not the end.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you completely. You are correct.
You're jumping like 15 steps ahead where I think that they're still on step 3.
I just think that this is like if you like had like, I don't know, like Dancing with the Stars or like some sort of like big celebrity event, right? And right. you got like, oh, we're going to get like, you know, George Clooney and the Elizabeth Olsen and Josh Brolin and Screech. And it's like, what? Why is Screech here? It's like, well, Screech is going to be like in this movie, and so you should just like take Screech seriously. It's like, no, that's going to take a lot.
Right.
It's going to take a lot for me to, because Ty Dillinger is Screech.
And again, this is the starting point, right? Because they're not telling you, the story isn't like, oh, wow, like he comes in with all this momentum and all this stuff and he's such a big deal and wow, I can't believe we got him. That's not the story at all. If that was the story, you're 100% right. But the fact is that Cody was just for weeks being like, yeah, this dude's a nobody. We took him because whatever. And it's just like, and this guy's mad about that. I care more about the fact that you had story development, that this character reacted to something another character said and is taking action with it. And then, yeah, let's see what happens. Yeah. But I'm not saying that he is the second coming of Kenny Omega. And I am not saying that he is the second coming of Ryback.
I understand. And there's reason that this new character, which to be fair is what he is in this weird performance art, it's this in this weird thing that whatever how you want to categorize pro wrestling, I understand that, you know, we got to give him a shot and I'm willing to give him a shot.
Yeah.
I just think that he has been Ty Dillinger for so long. It's just such a, I think it's a taller mountain than some people do for him, but we'll see.
Yeah. But I want to see him start climbing the mountain before I decide one way or the other.
Okay. That's fair.
All right. An Escalera de la Muerte, which apparently stands for ladder match.
Ladder of death.
Yeah. I was going to say death had to be in there somewhere.
For the AAA World Tag Team Championships between the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks.
I love that they've somehow created a tag team championship in this promotion without ever actually having the tag team championships.
They just fight for somebody else's tag titles on their show.
Yeah.
Which is fine with me.
Fine.
I'm going to pick the Lucha Brothers. I know it's the Young Bucks show, but I just think that the Lucha Brothers mean more to AAA than the Young Bucks do.
Right. The other thing, too, is that one of these teams is going to be in the AEW World Tag Team Championship picture, and it makes more sense for the Young Bucks to be.
The Young Bucks will be in the finals, whether or not they win or not.
I don't think they win, but I
don't think they win either, but I think they're the team that gets beaten for them.
Right. I think the Dark Order win.
Ooh. And this one I'm going to pick the Lucha Brothers, because they just mean more to AAA.
I think so, too.
Even though the Bucks have been the AAA champions before and traveled, I just think it's not what they're looking to do right now.
No, you're right.
All right, we got two matches left in the card, and we're looking at Pac taking on Kenny Omega.
You know what we didn't do? Who wins between Ty Dillinger and Cody Rhodes?
Ty Dillinger.
Well, Sean Spears.
Sean Spears.
Cody.
I can suspend disbelief. I think it's going to be fun to watch Sean Spears.
I'm going
to
root for Cody.
You can root for Cody.
Not Brittany's brother.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So
Pac and Omega.
Pac and Omega. It's really unfortunate that you know, John Moxley had to pull out of this match. I think that was the match that
people
were really, really looking forward to for a myriad of reasons that we had talked about already.
I was looking forward to it the most.
But Pac, great replacement. Great replacement for the people available, right? Because there's nobody, as funny as they joked on being the Elite this past week, as funny as they joked about it with like Marty or Flip, the problem is that they are contractually ineligible.
Yeah, right.
Right? And so there's nobody there that would be able to do it.
So I'll throw a name out there. It might be a little earlier than you expected to answer it, but I'll ask you the same question I did off the air because you had time to think about it.
Right.
49% over under CM Punk is part of this show in any capacity, in any way. That could be a wrestling match, a promo. That could be him standing on the stage. That could be him backstage, like giving a pep talk to Hangman before the big one. Is CM Punk 49% over under CM Punk is part of this show?
Under.
I'm going over.
Over 40. Okay.
I'm going over.
That officially makes it at least as likely as not.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he kind of kicks himself for not being a part of All In, because that was such a WWE middle finger.
Sure.
And
so was Double or Nothing.
And so was Double or Nothing. So this being the like big middle finger on the way to the TV deal, especially after the NXT stuff, I think that you have him do something. And it's funny because we talked about it off the air, and this is what I would bring it up. Even if it is Macho Man Randy Savage showing up at the Impact Zone and then never again.
And we'll talk about that more in a little bit, just a minute or two. But I just wanted to get your thoughts. The only reason I bring that up now, a little early, is because do you think... So here's a fact that we know, an actual concrete fact, that CM Punk showed up to one of the press events when All In was being hyped last year. And Cody heard that CM Punk was in the building and basically ran down the hall to chase him, to find him, to offer him a blank check to say, what's it going to take to get you to be part of the show? Cody Rhodes wants to do business with CM Punk, and it doesn't take a pro wrestling analyst of 5 years to tell you that the biggest finger that they could possibly give to that company is to have CM Punk make headlines for them and not you.
Right.
Yeah. The biggest return maybe left in pro wrestling, and I got it, not you. Right.
Yep.
And so do you think, knowing how badly they want this to happen, do you think AEW management offered CM Punk the spot over Pac when this presented itself?
No, because I think that the plan was already in place.
To get Neville in there somehow?
Yeah,
or?
I'm not... If it was going to be CM Punk, I would need to have that be known just because it's replacing Moxley. Right.
Yep.
And so having
but in an internet age and they're very internet savvy, can't I get that done?
No, not necessarily, because I need to have the entire world know that CM Punk is here. Like, again, it's because Moxley is out. If I'm building the show from scratch, then sure, maybe this is a mystery opponent or whatever. But because Moxley is out, I need to now get all of the people that weren't going to watch it now because he's not here back.
Yeah, and CM Punk draws 10 times the amount that Pac does.
Right, and so, but I'm scrambling, right, because...
I'm just asking you if they called.
Well,
I do.
Maybe they called, but again, it's just like, hey, I'm not in ring shape. I haven't wrestled in years.
But the thing is, they just showed a video of him in the ring. He looks great. For whatever it's worth, he looks great.
Right.
And you know what that quote-unquote match would actually be, it'd be the CM Punk looks great fest.
Right.
Because who cares about how it, you know what I mean?
The other thing is do I want it to be the CM Punk fest looks great against Kenny Omega?
Right. I'm not telling you it'd be a squash. Right. I'm telling you he would be heavily protected. I'm just asking you I think that the offer was made.
I think he's going to be here. I just don't think I think it was already established and...
Oh, what CM Punk's role would be?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's just like, look, I need you to tune in on October 2nd. So having CM Punk be in a match with Kenny Omega before the championship doesn't help me as much as what I think they have planned.
I understand that. And you are right. Omega will win.
Yeah. Omega won.
Going back to the other point, I saw Colin say something earlier today that really intrigued me.
You know he's wrong.
He might not be, though. If we're talking about CM Punk being on All Out in any sort of fashion, MJF is not on this card.
Right.
So he brought up the fact that MJF might come out and shit all over the Chicago crowd.
Right.
And CM Punk comes out to confront MJF.
That's really kind of all I'm talking about when I say part of the show
and
in any
way. And then you sell a shitload of $50 pay-per-views the next time around when CM Punk wrestles somebody.
And
MJF.
And we can still do what you are going to have in mind for later on. But to Colin's credit, that's unbelievably easy because we just have MJF play Elias.
Right.
Go out there and tell the crowd stupid and then somebody's going to come down and beat you up.
Right.
Terrific.
And it can't be Colt Cabana this year.
Yeah, he signed Ring of Honor.
Easy. But that's a honestly, that's a very good call. Colin was bound to be right eventually.
Broken clock.
Also, shout out to Erica, his lovely, I don't know, and wife
in the
or
house.
Whatever. Yeah, they got a bar in the house.
Mm.
Oh, good.
So,
they have a bartender?
My alcoholic soulmate.
Are you going to have limes is the real question.
Well, they don't have limes in the great state of Kansas. Everything's in black and white except for the people. They only come in white. But they don't have limes in Kansas that blew Colin's mind. But again, shout out to Colin. I love him. I love your bar. And my alcoholic soulmate, Erica. I hope that you're enjoying wherever you are.
Yeah.
Probably drunk.
All right, the main event of the evening. We're an hour into this preview here. This is pretty cool. We have the AEW.
The show started 3 hours ago. Computer.
The AEW World Championship. The inaugural match for the championship is on All Out this Saturday, and Adam Hangman Page is taking on Chris Jericho.
Oh man, I can't wait for this. This match is going to be awesome.
So this match is going to be awesome. Here's going to be my snark that I'll throw out there because I'll do it. Jericho's fastball is inconsistent. And so, like, look, Hangman Page is, I think, 28, 29 years old. Kid's a stud. And he's going to look...
He's a horse.
He is. He's going to look great and be great. Big, and I think the match is going to be very good. But I'm just going to throw out there that I'm not sure Chris Jericho has many more of these.
Right. I don't need him to have many more. I just need him to be able to cross finish lines.
Exactly. Which is why I'm hesitant, because what I would do if I'm the promoter, which I know is going to be an unpopular thing to say, I would put it on Jericho.
Yes.
Because I think it's better. It's the multitude of reasons. One, wrestling TV is always better when good guys are chasing bad guy champions. Every single time, there's no exceptions. It's always better. And we're starting a TV program. Second reason is Chris Jericho with my championship just means more to Joe Average Guy at the bar, who we reference all the time. And the big thing is, as well, is what we would have the opportunity to potentially do if you want to talk about middle fingers to WWE. At the end of this thing, you have options that are nearby as to creating a big moment when I ask you if somebody might want to be part of the show in any way, shape, or form.
Right. This is the moment where I think, like, Chris, I don't think that anything really comes of it, because I think
Paige is probably going to win and this whole thing might be moot.
And maybe you have, it really depends, but I do think that CM Punk shows up at the end of this match, because that's going to be the main talking point and the big, oh my God, is he a part of this programming?
And you think about it, I think it's a point worth making. If they want to spend the money, which they don't seem to be afraid to do, they can license Cult of Personality.
Right.
This is a weird thing where, like, I'm just going to give you this name because I can't think of anybody else. Whatever. Let's just sign they sign Big Cass, right? He can't come out to Soft. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that music, you know. So that initial, that Italian sound and chord they play in the very beginning that triggers your brain to go like, oh, the guy I like is here, right? When Dean Ambrose debuted,
the Bret Hart, when he came out with the match, we couldn't do the guitar.
Exactly, right, exactly. And so there's just something different about it. And this is a rare opportunity where if they want to just play the music that's going to trigger, like CM Punk could come out to bagpipes and people would be happy. But there is something literally chemically in your brain triggered to that music that would make the reaction go even nuttier.
Yeah,
and you don't
have
to play the static part. If all of a sudden, like, let's just paint the picture. Chris Jericho is the first AEW champion. Can you believe it? Right? And then
everybody's booing and nobody's going to go home happy.
And then they show the stage and all of a sudden you just hear, and then that asshole walks out and is on the stage and just sort of looks at that title. You know what I mean? And all you have to do is one of those
and then just taps his wrist.
Right. And you have to do one of those weird wrestling things where they look at each other and don't say anything. And then the camera cuts and you wonder what the world is like now that they faded to black.
Right.
And that's all he has to be. And even though we were joking about the Macho Man thing, it's true. Even if CM Punk goes like, oh, I'm not going to be on your TV show or anything, don't you watch like the first 10 episodes because he's got to be there somewhere eventually? Where is he?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so if he wants to be part of the programming, great. He doesn't even have to be.
No.
Even if that guy just comes out and goes like, oh, look at that belt, huh? You know what I mean? You're just like, does CM Punk want to be the AEW champion?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to watch every minute of their new show because I got to find out. That's what his fans would do.
Right.
And so, like, look, I actually, to be, you know, to keep the snark train rolling, I actually think the odds are under 49%, unfortunately, because this guy just, what you have to take into consideration here is his entire motivation would have to be to stick it to Vince. And so you're talking about a guy that is, don't get me wrong, man, incredibly capable of this, right. but holding on to a almost 6-year grudge.
Yeah.
And is willing to finally jump back in the ring just for this. I mean, you're talking about a guy that, although I believe him to be a very special kind of asshole, he would have to be really, really, really fueled by spite to do this.
Yeah, I think that it's just as the UFC career didn't pan out the way he had hoped.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I just, you know, he's now appearing in movies, but they're...
Is he?
Yeah, but they're like...
As what? Like a zombie or like a waiter that in
they're
the background?
Like, they're B-horror movies. Oh. You know, so he's just like a guy in a B-horror movie.
Neat.
You know, but...
Couldn't be happier to hear that.
But that's
I'm a star.
But so you're talking about that sort of stuff. If he's going to be doing that type of stuff, right? And if the rumors are believed to be true, that his agent's floating out whether or not they want him to do a FS1 wrestling show. You know, if those are the type of things that... Those are the type of things that are being floated out into that he's doing. That means that it's now time to start making the money again, right? Because the money that you had from 6 years ago with WWE, all that stuff went away. And Marvel hasn't called back, and you're not consistently doing that. And the UFC dried up, and you're not doing that anymore, right? And so now you're going to be doing movies periodically, but you're going to need money.
You're a nobody.
Well, where's the biggest payday?
Yeah.
With AEW.
Exactly. Or WWE is the actual answer.
WWE is the actual answer.
Because he can't do that. He just doesn't have it in him. Then right. You're right. Second answer is AEW.
The second answer is AEW. Right. And so it's like, yeah.
I just think that this guy is a sour puss. And the whole thing that you and I are talking about is built on fun. And he doesn't care about fun anymore because he's a snicker puss that doesn't care about you the way you care about him. I will say that about CM Punk until I'm blue in the face. He is a snicker puss that does not care about you the way you care about him. Who will be the first AEW world champion?
Chris Jericho.
I think
you got to put it on Jericho.
I think they're going to do Paige.
You think so? Heading into the first TV in 2 weeks?
I think
Or 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah, because two reasons. I'm going to give you two reasons why. There are five people in that company that I think are going to be considered the good old boys, was the old expression in wrestling, the clique, if you need to get modern, right? Cody Rhodes, Nick Jackson, Matt Jackson, Chris Jericho, and Hangman Page. They, I really do believe, are going to be the good old boys back there. Just because the three of them started it. Cody, the Bucks, quote-unquote, started it. Hangman Page is their chosen one. Yeah. And Chris Jericho is in his Ric Flair years where he's like, Hunter, Randy, I'm still cool, right? And right. So I think they'll be the good old boys. They'll be the clique. And
I mean, Kenny's in there too.
And so you're right. There's your sixth guy. That's Kenny Omega. I absolutely agree with you. Absolutely agree with you. Maybe even over Jericho. And what I think they're going to do at this show is very, very few of the good old boys are going to win. So you don't think that's what this promotion is all about.
Right.
And so I think that Cody probably loses.
Yeah.
I think that the Bucks probably lose.
Right.
I think that Omega wins.
Right. But the only reason he wins is because Moxley
exactly. And probably would have.
Exactly.
And so it's like, yeah, this would have come down to like, This is the good old boy that we're okay with winning. Yeah. You know what I mean? In a time where Kenny Omega was probably going to lose, the Bucks were probably going to lose, Cody was probably going to lose, and it's okay if we do it to one of the guys that you know is a quote unquote chosen guy, whatever, whatever.
Well, the other thing too is that I need Hangman Page on his quest.
Yeah, it's also like this is the way in wrestling. You just be like, this guy's a big deal that we're telling you. This is our The guy. This is our Cena. This is our tent. This is the franchise quarterback. We just had the expansion draft, and this is the guy
this
we took.
Is the guy.
And so I think it's probably Paige, although I would put it on Jericho.
And I think it's going to be Jericho.
And I will go under 49% on a CM Punk appearance. CM Punk. Yeah. That's it, right?
Yeah. I mean, let's just wrap it up. We were going to talk about Andrew Luck, but let's just push that to Patreon.
Okay.
You know?
All right. So we're going to talk about the retirement of Andrew Luck. And if you're like, I don't care about Andrew Luck, we're going to parlay it into whether or not athletes, including wrestlers, have the quote-unquote right to walk away, how you feel about that. are wrestlers smart if they were to say, hey, I'm young and rich and don't want my brain to fall out, and they walk away? But also just athletes in general. We'll talk all about Andrew Luck's retirement from football. We'll talk about the D23 summit.
Yeah, that happened over the weekend.
And everything, including the final dagger in my heart that came out of that. That, like, Bill will tell you, that bummed me out for days. Find out what bummed me out in, like, real life private time
I can't wait, because I don't know.
Patreon.com/New Age Insiders is where you can find the fifth show. We do a bonus episode every month. Your support goes a long way. We appreciate it. Patreon.com/New Age Insiders. Find it there. Retiring early from sports and your health and mental health and head stuff. And what bummed me out for reals.
Bummed out. Be there, be square.
Patreon.com/New Age Insiders. My name's been Jason Mull.
I'm Luke Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. Everywhere. At New Age Insiders. At Liam NAI. At Bill Neville NAI. NewAgeInsiders.com. Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders is where we're going. Thank you for making us the premier place for fans of all kinds to connect, discuss, and to be heard. We out. I'm the coastal personality, the coastal personality.